This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal, remembering Aaron Bushnell. On February 25, 2024, a 25-year-old U.S. Air Force airman named Aaron Bushnell walked calmly toward the gates of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. Dressed in his military uniform, he spoke softly to a live stream. "I am an active duty member of the United States Air Force, and I will no longer be complicit in genocide. I am about to engage in an extreme act of protest, but compared to what people have been experiencing in Palestine at the hands of their colonizers, it's not extreme at all. This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal." Moments later, he set himself on fire. As the flames engulfed him, he shouted again and again, "Free Palestine!" Aaron Bushnell died a few hours later. His body perished, but his words ignited a global conversation about conscience, complicity, and the cost of moral silence. A martyr for conscience. To call Aaron Bushnell a martyr is to acknowledge that he died for a truth he could no longer deny. His act was not born of despair, but of conviction, a radical refusal to live within the moral hypocrisy he saw around him. Bushnell understood the machinery of power. As an enlisted airman, he had witnessed how obedience and bureaucracy sustained distant wars, how the suffering of civilians is reduced to statistics, and how systems sanitize cruelty with language like national security and collateral damage. But his defiance was not only public, it was also heartbreakingly personal. Before his death, he donated his life savings to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund, an organization providing medical care and aid to young victims of war. He also arranged for a neighbor to care for his beloved cat, ensuring that even in his final act of protest, compassion guided his every decision. Such gestures reveal that his protest was not a rejection of life, but a defense of it. In the days before his death, he posted online, "Many of us like to ask ourselves, what would I do if I was alive during slavery? Or the Jim Crow South? Or apartheid? What would I do if my country was committing genocide? The answer is, you're doing it. Right now." That declaration was both confession and challenge, a mirror held up to a society that prides itself on moral hindsight while tolerating contemporary atrocity. The normalization of the unthinkable. Bushnell's chilling warning, "This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal," was not hyperbole. It was diagnosis. He saw a world where the destruction of entire neighborhoods in Gaza, the starvation of civilians, and the killing of children could be justified in the language of policy and defense. To him, the horror was not only the violence itself, but how easily that violence was explained away. When governments violate human rights with impunity, and when the public accepts it as the background noise of geopolitics, then atrocity has indeed become ordinary. Bushnell's act was a refusal to accept that new normal. His fire declared, "No, this cannot be normal." The shattered authority of international law. At the heart of Bushnell's protest was not only empathy for Gaza, but fear for the future of humanity. Once the norms of international law, against collective punishment, the targeting of civilians, or starvation as warfare, are broken without consequence, the precedent invites global collapse. He seemed to understand that the erosion of accountability in one conflict threatens every nation thereafter. When law becomes selective, when justice is conditional, morality itself becomes negotiable. His death was thus both a moral outcry and a prophetic warning that the world cannot endure if power can kill without shame. The echo of conscience, a lineage of moral warning. Bushnell's words belong to an enduring tradition of thinkers who have insisted that evil thrives not on hatred, but on indifference. His reflections resonate across time, with Einstein's humanism, Burke's political realism, and Elie Wiesel's moral witness, each confronting the question of complicity in their own era. When Bushnell wrote, "Many of us like to ask ourselves, what would I do if I was alive during slavery? Or the Jim Crow South? Or apartheid? What would I do if my country was committing genocide?" The answer is, you're doing it. Right now. He was joining that lineage, turning history's moral hindsight into a present tense indictment. Einstein, the cost of watching. The quote often attributed to Albert Einstein, though unverified, captures Bushnell's meaning. The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. Both men recognize that evil rarely announces itself. It seeps into everyday life through resignation and obedience. Bushnell refused to be a watcher. His act was the final negation of passivity, a declaration that silence is itself a weapon in the hands of the powerful. Burke, the lethal passivity of good men. Edmund Burke's famous warning still resounds. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Bushnell's message gives that idea new urgency. The good men of his time were not villains, but citizens, professionals, and soldiers who quietly upheld systems of destruction. By saying you're doing it right now, Bushnell shattered the comforting illusion that complicity is neutral. It is not. It is an active participation in harm through inaction. Wiesel, The Death of Empathy. And in Elie Wiesel's haunting words from his 1986 Nobel lecture, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. For Wiesel, indifference allowed Auschwitz to exist. For Bushnell, indifference allows Gaza to burn. Both men saw that the greatest danger is not rage, but the moral deadening that permits atrocities to unfold while the world watches through screens. Bushnell's voice joins theirs, not in theory, but in flame. Bearing witness through fire. Throughout history, self-immolation has been the most extreme form of witness, from Thich Quang Duc's silent protest in Saigon to the Tibetan monks who set themselves alight for freedom. Each act translates a moral cry into the universal language of suffering. Aaron Bushnell joined that lineage of radical witness. His flames were not only a symbol of outrage, but an attempt to awaken the anesthetized conscience of the powerful. He did not seek to destroy others, only to remind us that life itself is being destroyed in our name. He spoke not of vengeance, but of liberation, not of despair, but of solidarity. The burden he leaves behind. To remember Aaron Bushnell is to bear a heavy responsibility. His life demands that we confront our own complicity in the systems we inhabit. How many of us, he asks from beyond the grave, continue to accept as normal what should instead horrify us? He left no manifesto, no organization, only the example of one human being who refused to normalize atrocity. He ensured his cat was safe, he gave away his savings to children trapped in a war zone, and he walked into history as a living question mark. What would you do? His warning, "This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal," is not only an accusation of elites. It is a mirror for all of us. For what is normalized from above survives only because it is accepted below. Epilogue, a flame that refuses to go out. Aaron Bushnell's final act was not an end but an opening, a tear in the fabric of collective denial. His death reminds us that conscience still exists, even when buried beneath the machinery of empire. He was a soldier who chose humanity over obedience. He was a man who ensured even his cat would live in safety while he himself walked into fire. He was a citizen who refused to accept that genocide could ever be normal. This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal. Let those words echo in every government hall, every newsroom, and every quiet household. They are not simply his warning, they are our judgment. To remember Aaron Bushnell is to refuse to live as though his protests were in vain. His fire calls us to awaken, to act, and to end the normalization of inhumanity before it consumes us all.